Because today, as the young people would say, today we're going to stand on business. All right? Ain't that right, Hunter? We're going to stand on business today. Speaking of standing on business, let's stand up for the reading of the word today. And listen to me. Here at Fervent Church, we believe that fun can be holy. Okay? So we're going to do some work today, but work can be fun. Freedom is fun. Joy is fun. All right? And I know you. I've seen you. I've seen you act crazy at 11:59 on New Year's Eve. I need you to bring that type of energy here this morning. Amen? All right? Colossians chapter 3 is what we're going to read. And so if you know anything, our Bible is basically a series of books, 66 books. And then the first half of the book is considered the Old Testament or the Jewish Bible. And then the second half is the New Testament, the Christian Bible. And here in the New Testament, two-thirds of this series of books was written by a man named Paul. Paul used to kill Christians. Paul had a crazy life. He was a murderer. He stood for things. He was well educated. But now, after his encounter with Jesus, his life was transformed almost overnight when we read it. And he started all these churches. So here in Colossians, we're reading this guy named Paul. He's writing a letter to Colossian Christians about the importance of putting away your old life. The importance of it. And I want us to recognize the fact that the Bible isn't necessarily written to you, but it is written for you. Okay? It's written to specific people, but we could learn by what is Paul, this dynamic man of God, what is he telling this church? And so he's saying, hey, before you can even adopt the new, you got to put away the old. I had a little bit of taste of that this weekend. I went to go visit my brother-in-law in Boston. Don't boo. But we went to Boston and it was cold and rainy. So in my head, I thought, there's no way we're walking around Boston City, right? The agenda has to change. So I was like, I'm just gonna focus on looking cute and not focus on wearing a coat, all right? Stupid, because they decided they were gonna walk anyway. So I'm outside and I have a shacket on, similar to this. A shacket, everybody know what a shacket is, all right? This is a shacket, all right? And so I'm wearing a shacket and I'm drenched because it's cold and rainy. And so I saw in the distance an L.L. Bean. And I said, I'm going to buy me a puffer. I'm going to buy a puffer jacket. And I bought the puffer jacket. And I know some of you are like, I know I need to revoke my Puerto Rican card because I'm shopping now at L.L. Bean. So I put this jacket over the wet, cold shacket. And I just didn't feel comfortable at all. What I should have done, I should have taken off the old before putting on the new, okay? This is what Paul is talking about, okay? So as he's talking to the church, he says this, if then you were raised with Christ, that means you accepted Christ in your life, the old is gone, the new is coming. He says, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, everybody say mind. Mind on things above, not on things on earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When I come to God, there's this miracle called grace that he tells me that the old is gone, the new is here. My old life is not just behind me, it is dead. Therefore, it has no effect on me. All right, that is the definition of a Christian life. So then it says this, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So when he comes back, when God looks at you, he doesn't see Ephraim. He doesn't see Hunter. He doesn't see the other hunter. How many hunters are in the room? He sees Jesus. Okay? This is why we could boldly approach Father God in confidence, because he doesn't just see you. He sees the Jesus in you. All right? Therefore, when there's a therefore, you got to find out what it's there for. It says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. You're not that person anymore. You're not that person anymore. I'm gonna say it a third time. You're not that person anymore, okay? You might trip up, you might mess up, but you're not that person anymore, okay? So he says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian nor black nor white, nor Asian nor short nor tall nor bald nor hairy. It doesn't matter. But we are free, but Christ is all and in all. We have to put off the old before you put on the new. We're going to do some work today, amen? Let us pray together. Father God, I ask you right now to speak to each and every one of us individually. As we maintain this level of excitement, help us do the work. Help us authentically come to you, believing that you want to do a mighty thing in each and every one of our hearts. More than a New Year's Eve service, God, we ask you to perform surgery and to take out anything that does not belong there. We want more of you. We want more of you. Have your way today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, also, you ready for this one? This might be sad. I'm going to retire this because we're going to start a new thing in the new year. So this is the last time we're going to do this together. Say loud and proud. Say, I'm here.
I'm ready.
Draw me closer.
Make me better.
In Jesus' name. Amen. As you're being seated, compliment the person. Say, you look like a whole new year. A whole new year. A whole new year. Hey, y'all, I'm going to do something. I'm gonna pray with y'all in the beginning of this year. So starting January 2nd, I'm going to Instagram Live at 6 a.m. every morning for 21 days, and I'm going to be leading us in prayer. All right? For 21 days. And for a while, we've been playing around. Do I do it on Zoom and have everybody log in on Zoom? And I know that some people are shy, especially at 6 a.m. Nobody wants to see your face. So we're just going to do it. You look good. You're the only one, brother. You're the only one delusional. No, I'm kidding. So 6 a.m. Instagram Live, you could submit your prayer request. I'm going to lead you through a prayer. It's not going to be long, but if you can't catch it live, you could always catch it later on my channel. But it's really, really important that if you're up at 6 a.m., let's pray together and let's start off the new year right. Amen? Awesome. And that's not a selfish way to get more followers on Instagram. I'm not that petty. All right? So I titled today's message, Let It Go. And no, we're not going to sing the Frozen song. Let it go. You're welcome. All right. Somebody says, I could go back home and get my Elsa dress. No, we don't need that. All right. But I want us to focus on what does it mean to actually let it go. Many times when we want to make a change, we focus on, well, you know, I'm going to start dieting on Monday. Right. I'm going to start January 1. That's where everything's going to change. But I want to talk to those in this room that if you believe that you are a follower of Jesus, here's what I want you to write down. First thing, for those who are following Christ, we need to act like new is now. Okay? It's the only way it happens. Because if you delay being new, you're not living in the freedom that God gave for you now. Okay? So if you're thinking you're going to start dieting January 2nd, no, do it now. If you're thinking you're going to quit a bad habit in 2024, do it now. Because to the follower, we need to act like new is now. You're following me today, all right? So we need to put to death the old so that we could put on the new. And the renewal that we have in this identity in Christ. It's echoed all over Scripture in Ephesians 4 says this, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which goes corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We can also see it in Romans 12, 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So more than anything, I believe that this isn't a self-help sermon at all, but I do believe that the Bible talks a lot about your mind. All right? You need to take off that old mindset before you put on the new mindset. Because if not, you're just going to look like dumb Mike Rosato in Boston, where you're going to be soggy in the inside. Come on. With an L.L. Bean jacket on the outside. Nobody wants to look like that. Okay? So we have to first take it off. Before you step into whatever new year, before you step into whatever new journey, before you step into whatever new project that you're going to take on in 2024, you need to take off the old mindset. Again, a few months ago, we had a guest, Rob Reamer, come through, and I asked him, help us discern, what do you feel here in South Jersey? And we were talking amongst different other churches in South Jersey, other CMA churches in South Jersey, and he explicitly said, that there's a feel like there's a spirit of dullness here. And so next week, we're starting a brand new series called Unstuck. Because I want everyone in this room to get unstuck. If you feel like you plateaued spiritually, if you feel like you haven't felt joy in a really long time, I invite you to come back and begin this journey right with Fervent Church this year. Amen? All right? But this is a prerequisite. You have to take off the old mindset before you put on a new mindset. This is what I believe. I believe that what you think you feel, okay? This is scripture. What you think you feel. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Okay? So what you think you feel, and watch this, what you feel you speak. The Bible says that the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. All right? I told you this ain't self-help stuff. This is straight Bible, okay? So what you think you feel, what you feel you speak. And because you're made in the image of God, what you speak you create. The Bible says that there's life and death in the tongue, okay? So, but it starts off with your thinking. So what you think, you feel, what you feel, you speak, and what you speak, you create. So some of you, you want to create a new future. You want to create a new timeline in your life, right? The old is gone, the new is come. It starts with your thinking. And we need to renew our thinking. But before renewing our thinking, we have to take off the old. Some of us, you're still paralyzed by insecurity. Some of you, you're still paralyzed by lies that you've allowed to reside in your life. And it distorts everything you see, everything you hear. It forces you to reject compliments. Am I talking to anybody already today? Right? It forces you to, like, every time, like, you something new or good happens in your life, what are you doing? You're waiting for the next bad thing to happen. Come on. And you're like, well, hope for the best, expect the worst. That is not freedom. That is not faith. That is not following Christ. To hope for the best and expect the worst? No. Hope expects God coming through. Hope expects God moving. Hope expects Jesus being my identity regardless of what happens around me. That's what hope does. So this mindset that we have to now take off. A buddy of mine was here yesterday. He came and visited me. He's one of my best friends. And we started talking about some things, just, you know, how far we've gone and how far we've grown. And he was complimenting us. He said he's really seen my wife grow tremendously throughout the history of our church, and he's watched me kind of change a little bit too. And he goes, you know what? You used to be really edgy. You used to be really edgy, but you're not edgy anymore. Something happened. You're kind of soft, he said. I was like, first of all, bro, like, you know, there ain't nobody around. Like, and I said, no, I think life just tenderized my heart a little bit. You know, I've been in ministry for 20 years, so in the beginning, thank you. Were you clapping? Because, yeah, you used to be a jerk, but praise God, The Lord moved on your life. Hallelujah. Kidding. No, he said, you don't have that answer anymore. But a part of him was like, but it's weird because it's almost like it's not the real you. So we got into this conversation, and what this guy does, he coaches CFOs and CEOs, you know, all over the place. He makes a substantial amount of money doing this. And so I asked him the question. I said, you don't think that's me anymore? And I said, so are you saying that I'm not authentic anymore? He goes, it's weird. It's just not the original version of Mike that I met. You're kinder, you're gentler. You know, the joke we have, he goes, you're surprisingly tender. And so I asked him this question. I said, so what's the difference? Can you be authentic and unhealthy? Or do you have to be inauthentic in order to be healthy? Can those things kind of coexist? Because like, if you want me to be the authentic, original, genuine version of Mike, I was a jerk. Kathy proved it. She clapped. I'm kidding. Right? And some of us, right? They're like, man, you're afraid. You're afraid to show the real version of yourself, right? Because if you did, people would say, yo, that dude's really unhealthy. That dude has a chip on his shoulder. Something's wrong with him, right? So can you be authentic and healthy? And he gave me an answer, and I didn't like it. But we're friends, so I could tell him that. And this is what hit me later on as I was wrestling with it. I think in this modern day age, it was trendy to talk about authenticity, right? And because authenticity became such a value, and it's even a value here at Fervent Church, it hit me that authenticity should never be the goal. So write this down. Authenticity is the vehicle, not the destination. You use authenticity to get whole. The goal is wholeness. The goal is to be more like Jesus. Okay? So the more I try to be more like Jesus, some parts of the old me need to fall off. Better yet, it needs to die. And we're so fixed on, is that real? Is that fake? It doesn't matter. My goal is for my soul to be healthy and for me to imitate who Jesus is. Okay? So authenticity should never be the goal. I'm just gonna keep it real. And trust me, we value real, but it's the vehicle, not the destination. So this year, the thing that I want us to kind of try on is like, I want us to be real. And this is how we define real, because I know real, people have many definitions. This is how we're gonna define real when I talk about it. This is real. Real means free from filters and editing, exposing one's true identity with vulnerability and transparency. So the only way you're going to grow is to be real, okay? You need to be real. Our salvation isn't just us declaring that Jesus is Lord. Our salvation is us recognizing that without him, my destination is hell. That without him, my life is a mess. That without him, I could bear no fruit, okay? I have to be real, right? So that's me being free from filters, free from editing myself, being vulnerable and transparent. So that's what I mean, be real. So this is gonna be the theme of this year. The theme of this year is this, so write this down. To become more like the real Jesus. I just wanna stop there. It needs to be about the real Jesus. Not about the Jesus that maybe some of us grew up with. The Jesus that cared more about your performance than he did your heart. I'm talking about the real Jesus, the Jesus that sat with sinners, the Jesus that stood for the marginalized, the Jesus that could care less about the set list and more about your character. Okay? The real Jesus. So to become more like the real Jesus, here's what you need to be real with God. Okay? Real with yourself so that you could be real with others. Can I say it again? Real with God, real with yourself, so that you could be real with others. The Bible says, how do we overcome? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, which means grace in our lives and the word of our testimony. For us to be real and to tell people, you know what? I struggled that way too, but I found freedom in Jesus. All right? We don't need, I might ruffle some feathers here. I don't think we need better theologians. I think we need better people to tell their testimony of what God has done in their lives. So I believe in good, solid theology, but who cares if you have good, solid theology if you don't have the boldness and the character to tell people your testimony? It's your testimony that matters. So for us to be real with each other and the value of community. So to become more like the real Jesus, you need to be real with God, real with yourself, so that you could be real with others. So speaking of being real, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be real with God. And I think sometimes being real with God and real with yourself kind of happens simultaneously. You think of the story of the prodigal son. What happened? This son told his father, hey, forget you. I want my inheritance. I'm going to go and I'm going to party. I'm going to hang out with prostitutes. I'm going to do whatever I want. And then he found himself in a pig pen. Found himself in a pig pen begging for food and wishing that he would just go back home just as a servant, not even as a son. And the Bible says he came to himself. What does that mean? He finally got real with himself. Some of you, you're not finding freedom because you think you're being real with God, but you haven't been real with yourself first. It's okay for you to say, I have issues. It's okay for you to look yourself in the mirror and go, yo, you got a lot of insecurities. I've watched some people that I try to coach. It's like, you're pretending like you don't have insecurities so that no one else sees your insecurities, but it's really obvious. So just say it. You step into confidence the moment you expose your insecurity. So here's what I want you to do. I need you to be real with yourself. Everybody, we're going to do some work. Everybody, pull out your phones. If you don't have a notebook, pull out your phones. Everybody, I ain't messing around. We're going to stand on business. Stand on business. Let's do some work. And very quickly, I want you to do this. Let's do the work together. Number one, write a one-sentence reflection on the past year's spiritual journey. Write a one-sentence reflection on the past year's spiritual journey. For some of you, you might say, you know what? I have had some cool ups, but way more downs spiritually. For some of you, you might write, I started working on things and I never finished. And only you could read this. Only you're reading this. You just need to be real with yourself. For some of you said, I faked it the whole entire year. I put on my church shoes. I put on my church outfit. But I faked it the whole entire year. One sentence reflection on your past year's spiritual journey. And be honest, nobody's going to read it. But you need to be real with God and real with yourself. Let me also help you out. Some of you, you think we're just looking for the negative. If you had a good year, write that down. But you didn't have a perfect year, so also write down an and I still have this to work on. But if you had a good year, rock on. But we need to be real with God, real with ourselves, so we could be real with others. I know for some of y'all, I'm messing up your buzz later on tonight. Number two, you ready for this one? Where do I need to seek forgiveness? And if you got people so close to you, you could just write initials on this one. You could abbreviate. Where do I need to seek forgiveness? Maybe that's a person. Maybe that's you need to ask God to forgive you of some secrets. As you're thinking about this, I want to release you of something. You're as sick as the secrets you keep. I've watched so many of pastor friends fall hard because their whole entire lives all their energy is based on hiding a secret. and eventually you get tired and the whole thing falls apart. So when you complain how raw and honest I am, just remember, it's like, I'm just conserving my energy. I don't have the time or the space to hide a secret, okay? I value privacy. There's a difference between privacy and secrecy, okay? There's some private things. I go to the bathroom. That's private. It's not a secret, right? Am I the only one that goes to the bathroom, right? But I still want to do that in private, okay? I think some of us, for you to have freedom this year, you need to release that secret. That secret pornography addiction. The secret flirting that you do at work. The secret drug habit. The secret shopping addiction. You know what it is? Seek forgiveness. Number three, who do I need to extend forgiveness? For some of you, number two is harder than number three. And for some of you, number three is harder than number two. And for some of you, you don't want to do anything. But who do you need to extend forgiveness? Again, I'm going to tell on myself. When I did this work earlier this week, my list was long. I started getting arthritis. I turned 43 today. I was writing names of people that I still need to extend forgiveness. And I didn't realize it until I actually asked myself this question. Where do I need to extend forgiveness? When we talk about forgiveness and releasing, we're talking about debt management, right? So grace is when you release someone of the debt. What do they owe you? So you release it. You don't owe me anymore. And when you ask God for forgiveness, you don't owe him anymore. He's paid the price for everything you've done, doing, and are going to do. Okay? So forgiveness is about debt management. We're releasing that person of the debt. So I did the extra work, and maybe you want to do the extra work. Next to their name, I asked myself, what do I think they owe me? And many of them, they was like, you owe me an apology. I don't want anything but an apology. But if I'm going to release them, if I'm going to extend forgiveness, then I don't need their apology anymore. I don't need their apology anymore. Forgiveness is setting the captive free, but also realizing that you are the one in bondage. Some of you, you have resentment, anger, and bitterness holding you back. Maybe the reason you're stuck is because you're holding on to everyone else's issues and not letting it go. Because again, what we think, we feel, what we speak, what we speak, we create. And you have bitter thoughts towards people, right? You know, once someone, can I say this? Is there any kids in the room? Once someone's on your crap list, right? Everything they do is annoying, right? And that's what it is. Your mind is set on your bitterness. So everything, oh, I can't say, whatever. They're not even doing anything wrong, and everything they do is annoying. You need to change your mindset. You need to release yourself of that debt. And this is how a believer is supposed to think. Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 4:8. He goes, finally, people, this is what we're going to do. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate. Other translations say, think on these things. That's not a lovely thought. Nope. That's not a praiseworthy thought. Nope. I'm trying to help you access the freedom that God already paid for in your life. And you have to put on the new mindset. Y'all getting this? You have to let it go. And so psychology, they talk about, there's this concept in psychology called cognitive restructuring. And they just stole that from the Bible. And this is basically renewing your mind. So this is what happens very quickly, and then I'm going to get to 15 points. So I was like, is he joking? I got to cook. When you have an old mindset, some of you right now, this is what you do. This is textbook textbook bad mindsets, okay? And you're still holding on to this bad mindset. Some of you, you catastrophize things, right? So you have the distorted thought could look like this. If I don't finish this project, if I fail at this project, my whole entire career is ruined. Anybody think that way? Okay, so that's a distorted mindset where if you think on lovely things, if you think on truthful things, and the restructured thought, the renewed thought could be this. While this project is important, one setback does not define my entire career. I can learn and I can improve. See, that's taking off the old and putting on the new. Y'all feeling me? All right? Or all or nothing thinking. This is me. All or nothing thinking. Just sort of, if I'm not performing well, then I'm a total failure. Anybody else out there with me? I need hands raised because I feel really lonely up here. Come on, somebody. That's a distorted thought, but renewed thought. Renewed thought. Again, we're being real with God, real with ourselves so that we can be real with others, right? A renewed thought could be this. I could strive for excellence without demanding perfection. Mistakes are opportunity for learning and growth. It's the shifting of a mindset. Y'all getting this, right? Some of us, we overgeneralize, right? You're the type of people that it's everyone and everything. Or no one. Right? Everyone likes me. Everyone hates me. No one likes me. All right, if I'm looking at you, I'm not condemning you. I just want it to sting just a little bit. Distorted thoughts. It's like, I made a mistake and I'm always going to mess things up. You love the words always and never. But a renewed thought looks like this. Making a mistake doesn't mean I always fail. Everyone makes mistakes. This is my opportunity to learn. That's what renewed mind looks like, right? Or dismissing thoughts, right? This is the last one. Dismissing thoughts where a distorted thought could look like this. I received some feedback, but I can't trust it. You're probably just being polite, right? This is a person that you dismiss everything. You can't take any compliment. Girl, you did good today. Dude, awesome. Yeah, whatever. You're just being nice. I don't want your participation trophy. And then what is the renewed thought? It's like discounting positive feedback undermines my confidence in what God has placed inside of me. I'll accept compliments generously and recognize the things that I'm doing well. You understand? Some of you, as you're listening to some of these, aren't you like, I want to think that way. Don't you want to think that way? You're held back by all these old mindsets. You've got to not just put off the old, you got to put to death the old. You got to kill it. It is not allowing you to access freedom. It is not allowing you to access joy. It is not allowing you to live the fullness of what God has for you. So let's open up Colossians 3. Let's take line by line real quick and let's learn how to put away the old very quickly. I was joking with 15, but I got quick 10. All right? Here we go, line by line. So if we look at Colossians 3:5, what does Colossians 3:5 says? It says, therefore put to death, I'm sorry, it says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So the first thing we need to do is have some self-reflection time. That's why it's very important that this year, as you continue to grow, as you continue to develop, let's have some time of self-reflection. More than anything, sometimes we think that prayer is just about us requesting things from God. But more than not, in my life, what I ask God to do is, hey, God, can you search my heart? The Bible says, the psalmist says, search my heart, oh God. Let's have this moment of self-reflection so that I can look deep inside of who I am and reflect on my life and identify the areas where I still have bad behaviors, identify the areas where I still have not so good desires. Okay, in order for you to put away the old, you need to adopt a good, healthy habit of self-reflection. And if your life is too busy to do this, I'm telling you, what's going to happen is that you might think you're talented enough, but your character will take you where your talent can't sustain you. Your character will take you where your talent can't sustain you. So you're going to get to the place where you will burn out mentally, spiritually, or even physically. If you don't take the time to set time apart to be with Jesus, to be with the Holy Spirit, and spend some time self-reflecting. Because some of you are like, but Pastor Mike, you told me that God accepts you just the way you are. Yes, he does. But he loves you so much that he won't leave you there. So self-reflection. Second thing is actually ownership. We read this in Colossians 3:7. We just read it. And it says this, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. So we have to, watch this, acknowledge that these behaviors were a part of my old past and recognize that. That through Christ, I could leave them behind. And here's the worst part. So when you own it, you own it. This is who I used to be. I'm no longer that anymore. So you own the past so that you could put it to death. And then you own the new so that you could live in it. You don't know how many times in my head I'm like, yeah, I'm not that Mike anymore. I'm not that Mike anymore. My kids will testify to this. I had both Hunters in my car. Somebody cut me off, a truck driver cut me off, big truck with the big tires, right? So I got mad because like, I don't like being looked down upon, you know what I mean? And he got me so mad, I sped up to try to catch up to him. And he gave me the God bless you finger, right? Everybody knows what the God bless you finger is? He gave me the God bless you finger. And I'm just confessing my sin. You ready? I went, and literally I just kept it right here. I was like, I stopped myself because that is not the save Mike Rosato. All right, so I just did this. That's it. No filter, no nothing. So now my boys make fun of me. They go, but I had to own it. That's the old Mike. That is not the new Mike. Y'all feel me? Number three, I need to have active change in my life. I need to keep on going. Colossians 3:8 says this, but now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth, okay? So I need to purposely decide to put away specific negative behaviors, specific negative emotions. Some of you don't believe this, but you know that you could decide, you could choose joy. You could choose it. It's crazy. I know some of you are like, no, I woke up like this. I feel you. But you could choose differently. Okay? You could choose joy. I'm not saying to pretend like nothing happened. I'm not asking you to be dumb Christians. I'm asking you to be aware, but to also say that he also told us earlier in this, to set your mind on things that are above and not down here. All right? So I'm experiencing this earthly situation, but my mind is anchored on things above, okay? So regardless of what happens here, Jesus is still on the throne. Regardless of what you say about me, I know what God thinks of me, okay? So for us to just live in that state of mind where like I'm actively changing, I'm choosing my behaviors, okay? And it's not a one and done thing. Like you would think, oh man, 20 years in ministry and I don't even know how long I've been saved and I still have to. I got an active change. Number four, I think we need to stick to truthfulness. Colossians 3:9 said this way, do not lie to one another since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Truthfulness. There's a difference between honesty and truthfulness. Okay? Some of us, and I'm not sounding political here, this has nothing to do with politics, but a statement that gets on my nerves is a statement, my truth. It's not your truth. There's truth with a capital T, right? And truth doesn't change based on circumstances, your emotions, or even your perspective. Okay? You're being honest. Okay? I could tell you that I honestly feel ugly today, but the truth is I'm gorgeous. Right? There's a difference between honesty and truth. Okay? And a lot of times, just what we do is we either go to the extreme of being super honest and thinking that honesty equates to truth. Right? I feel like I can't get anywhere. I feel like I can't have any breakthrough. I feel like that's honest. But the truth is that God's already given you freedom. You need to stand in it, dwell in it. You need to rehearse your freedom, even when you don't feel it. Rehearse your freedom, even when you don't feel it. You're not faking it, you're rehearsing it. And it's not just your truth. So we need to be people of true truthfulness. And so we need to commit to, yes, being honest, because we're going to be real with God, real with ourselves, and real with each other. We're going to be honest, but make sure you attach truth to your honesty. Because it's not your honesty that sets you free. It's the truth that sets you free. You think, I'm being honest. Why don't I feel freedom? Because your honesty doesn't break free anything. In fact, most times your honesty keeps you there. I'm going to leave that alone. Number five, transformation through knowledge. Colossians 3:10, he tells us this. He goes, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So what do we have to do is we have to continue to engage this year in spiritual practices. Okay? For a while, we stopped streaming services live for a bunch of reasons, you know, volunteer management, a bunch of different reasons. But we are looking to bring that back, okay? It is important still for you not to be lazy this year and for you not to forsake the gathering of believers, okay? Because more than just the knowledge from the platform, you can get a good sermon basically anywhere. It's always in your pocket. But this knowledge isn't enough. Sometimes you need the knowledge that goes through the conduit of relationships and friendships and community of people speaking it. I'm speaking it generally, but some of us, we need knowledge to speak directly face-to-face to one another. Y'all getting this? So we need to be committed to the spiritual practices of coming together, worshiping together, the spiritual practice of getting in a small group, getting in a collective, the spiritual practice of actually studying scripture. You know, some people are like, are you putting together a study of scripture? I'm not reinventing the wheel. This is a thing called the Bible app. Have you heard of it? There's tons of reading plans and everything like that. Get into one, read it, but be transformed by knowledge. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? You can't just take off the old if you're not going to put on the new. It doesn't say be transformed by an empty mind. Be transformed by the renewed mind. And some of you need new thoughts, and that new thoughts can come from God's truth. Okay? So we're transformed through knowledge. Number six, we need to maintain communion with God. Okay? Seek God's guidance through prayer. And we're very good at asking our friends for advice, which is important. The Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, but there is not wisdom in the counsel of the multitude. Can I say that again? There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, but there's no wisdom in the counsel of the multitude, okay? When God appoints, we get King David. When the multitude counsels, we get King Saul, which was a bad king. Okay? Remember, it was the crowd that voted Jesus to be crucified. Okay? So for us to remember that we have the ultimate wise counselor. We just celebrated it, right? Jesus is the counselor. Mighty God, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We have this counselor for us to stay in communion. And we say we pray about it, but you don't. Stop lying. I've been praying really hard on this, Pastor Mike. No, you've been talking a lot about it. It's different. You understand? I talked to my mama, and you added the name Jesus a lot in the conversation, but that don't make it prayer. Venting is not prayer. Gossiping is not prayer. Stressing about it is not prayer. Communion with God is prayer. I'm running out of time. Number seven, I think we need community support. Colossians 3:9 even says it. He goes, do not lie to one another. I think we need to talk to one another. Again, be real with one another. And no more playing church. Let's be the real church. No, everyone in this room, we all got crooked halos. Okay? If you think there's some, she has it all together, he has it all together, you don't believe your eyes. They don't. Everyone in this room is a loved by God hot mess. So let's start doing life together, amen? We need community support. Number eight, I'm preaching to myself, I need to let go of anger. Colossians 3:8 says to put off all these things, and the first thing he lists is anger. To consciously release the feeling of anger and to start embracing the spirit of reconciliation, embracing the spirit of grace. Most often, anger is a secondary emotion. Underneath anger is usually fear. But for me personally, as a man, it's way easier to be angry than it is to be afraid. Right? Way easier to be angry than it is to be afraid. I remember, like, because I was just a young, dumb dad, every time our oldest Chase got hurt, instead of being, like, just outwardly afraid, I'm like, dude, what did you do? Why were you jumping from there to there? You ain't Spider-Man. What is wrong with you? But what was wrong? I was actually scared that he was hurt. But instead, our society has conditioned us that it's way less weak. You don't, anger doesn't look weak. Yes, it does. With a heavenly perspective, anger is very weak. And so we need to put that away. And again, what if we were just real with God, real with ourselves, so that we could be real with others? I'm sorry for being angry. Deep down inside, I'm just really afraid. Just really afraid. So try this on. You're like, what gets you angry? What triggers you? And get you right in your red zone. And then do some soul searching. Dig underneath and say, okay, what am I actually afraid of when it comes to this thing? And you're going to fight yourself, because some of you are like, no, I'm just angry. Why can't I just be angry? You can. But if you want to grow this year, if you want to let go of anger, you need to find out what's underneath it. Two more. Colossians 3:10, he tells us to replace old habits. He says, and then put on the new man, who has been renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him. So we need to replace old habits. You need to actively replace old habits with good habits. For so long, religion has taught us, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And let me tell you, I have found that do works better than don't. Just telling you, don't think this way. Don't act this way. Don't do this. Don't do this. It doesn't work as well as do. This is what you should do. This is how we should act. This is how I'm going to be. Do always works better than don't. So we need to replace old habits. And lastly, number 10, it's to live in continuous renewal. Put on the new man, which is renewed, he says. Renewed, to recognize that this process is ongoing. You ready for this one? Just learn to embrace it. You will never graduate from growing. Maybe some of you felt like you've plateaued and you're stuck. Maybe the reason that you're plateaued and stuck is because somewhere down the line, you felt like you can arrive somewhere. And you're longing to arrive, so you'd rather plateau than look for more. And you will never graduate from learning. To the day you die, if there's air in your breath, there's always something to work on. So let's enjoy the ride together. And let go of the old so that we can put on the new. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do today. I want us to end the year off right in this historical first New Year's Eve service of Fervent Church. Can we stand? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I've asked some specific people to help me pray this morning. Where we get our name, Fervent Church, James 5:16, and it says this, it says, confess your sins to one another. Isn't that crazy? You're like, I just want to confess it to God. No, I think it's important for us to expose that old man to the light. so we can put it to death and put it away before we put on the new. It says, confess your sins to one another. And then I love the way it ends. It says, the fervent prayers of a righteous man or woman, sorry, Kathy, avails much. And so, no, you're absolutely right. There's nothing magical about you coming up here today. These people are special to me, but there's nothing special about them. They have the same Holy Spirit in them that you do. But they came here prepared to pray for you. And I entrusted them to discern how to pray for you, but you need to courageously and boldly make your way up and close this year off right. They're going to help pray some old things away so that you could put on the new before that ball drops tonight. Don't put on the new before taking off the old. We have to let it go. Let it go. Don't just say this year is over. Say the old version of me is over. So I'm going to pray. Worship team is going to sing. And don't hesitate. Most people in this room have done this before. So there's no shame. There's no condemnation. I promise you no one's going to be like, I wonder what they're praying for. We're all going to mind our business. And if we're not coming up, we're going to sing to God. Or better yet, can I also encourage you that if you are seasoned in your faith, then why don't you pray and intercede for the people coming up? Let's be a church. Let's be a community. Let's be Jesus-focused in this moment. And let's pray away the old so we can rejoice in the new. Amen? So I'm going to pray generally, and then if you can, make your way up. And let's do some work. Amen? Father in heaven, we humbly surrender this moment in humility. We confess that we have not been living in the freedom that you've gifted us with. You've given us freedom. And we've allowed lies to interfere with that. Some of us think that if I live the way I'm supposed to live, that I won't have fun anymore, and that's a lie. Some of you think that if I put away my old man, that means I can't really do me, and that's a lie. It doesn't matter that you're doing you. It matters that you look for and seek your new identity in him. So we pray against lies. We pray against labels that past hurts have placed on our lives. For some of us in this room, we've identified ourselves more as victims and less as victors because of the things that happen. And the things that happen to us are horrible, God. Things like sexual abuse, things like physical abuse, verbal abuse, misfortunate, catastrophic events. Those things are real and they really happen, God. But they do not define who we are. Help us put on this new identity, the right identity. And there's only one moment that defines us, and that's the moment that you died on the cross. So have your way, Father. Do what only you can do. Here in fervent, as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, make your way up.